The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3. Best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money. Only on Money FM 89.3.
You know, I was reading last week that GameStop has quietly unveiled a new web portal for an NFT. They're GameStop building an NFT platform on the back of Ethereum. Auction house Sotheby's saying that it hopes to appeal to traditional art collectors and those who collect crypto with the sale of digital art in the form of NFTs. So the online auction of NFT tokens, the latest step by a major auction house to embrace NFTs, which, as you know, is a form of blockchain-based asset. It's a blockchain-based asset. Say that three times fast. It's also a tongue twister. which certifies ownership of a digital object. What I wanted to do today, because I have a lot of artist friends, is try and figure out how you can get started in this NFT world. Maybe you want to NFT a piece of art yourself, or maybe you're a serious artist and you'd like some guidance. Gucci has debuted its first NFT, so why not you? What's next for the NFT art world, and how can you be part of it as well? For all this, I'm going to turn to Iris Koh, Executive and Artistic Director from Chorus Art. She's also founder of Ikibook Limited. She spent 20 years as a music director, but she's also big in tech and innovation, and has just spoken at an event in the Baltics on how she managed to NFT her art. Iris, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Michelle. I'm good, thank you.
All right, so today I thought it might be fun if I took some of the questions that my artist friends were sending my way and I put them to you. So here we go. First question from the mailbag. For someone who specializes in paint work, can I NFT my physical art, or can I only NFT the art that I produce on a computer?
Sure. Okay, that's a very good question and very common question. So, first of all, NFTs provide verification and authentication for ownership. And as such, it doesn't really matter whether the art is digital or physical. And there are a few ways that we can deal with physical art. Mm-hmm. So, option one is that...
You scan it.
Example, yes, you can scan it, like do a high... quality digital scan of it.
Do I have to buy a very expensive scanner for it, or can I use any sort of scanner?
No, there are like services that you there are vendors out there that can do digital scans of your artwork.
Because it has to be a high res scan, right? Doesn't the quality of the scan matter?
Yeah, it does. And also because you know some artwork are a bit fragile and all that, so definitely you want to go to like it.
I know a friend and his artwork is the size of a door. It's huge. It's beautiful. So he definitely needs some help scanning that in, right?
Yes. Definitely.
But other people could use a scanner they could buy off, I don't know, Amazon, right? If it's small.
If it's small enough, I guess you can DIY, because not all files need to be very like big on the blockchain. So
okay. Does it matter what kind of file it is, you know, JPEG or, you know, the scan?
Okay, it can be basically MP3, MP4, JPEG, PNG, GIF, MP, you know.
Okay, like all the usual tags, so nothing special. Yes. Okay, got it. Please go ahead.
Yes, okay, so that's option one. Mm-hmm. Option two is that you can also maybe, if you don't want to scan it, then maybe you have a QR code maybe attached to the physical work, maybe at the back of the physical work or something. Mm-hmm. And that QR code actually, once you scan it, it goes to the NFT itself.
Okay, right? So stick a QR code at the back of your physical work?
Yes, and of course, you know, it's good to have like an image or whatever that represents this, you know, because basically the NFT is like, it just means that I own this piece of work and I can track who owns it before and who is going to own it. Mm-hmm. Right, so which is actually an important factor in a lot of artwork is the lineage of the painting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
So that's option two. And then, of course, there's option three, which is like, there are those who digitize it and then they burn it, you know, so that's one copy, but, you know, it's not really necessary, actually.
Yeah, this is interesting. So if you have a physical artwork, you don't necessarily have to destroy it in order to increase the value of your NFT. Wouldn't it generally increase the value, though? Because the NFT is not only, you know, ownership, but that's the only one that exists of it.
For example, let's say if I have this very expensive painting, Mona Lisa or something, and today I want to turn it into an NFT, okay? So I can still keep the physical copy for people to enjoy, but I'm also the owner of the NFT, you know, because there's only one painting and it's linked to that NFT. Hello?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. I'm just thinking back to Banksy. You know, Banksy destroyed his artwork via live stream video and then sold it via NFT. And that one went for, I don't know, $380,000. There was another Banksy painting, self-destructed, and that sold for over $1 million. So it might be a stunt, but you may not have to destroy the physical artwork. It could still exist. I'm also thinking of NFT of Charlie Bit My Finger, the video on YouTube. And, you know, initially they thought they were going to take it off YouTube, but the buyer said, no, I want it to still be a part of pop culture, so it should stay on the web for other people to enjoy. So it really depends, and you don't necessarily have to destroy your physical work if you're NFTing it. Is that right?
Yes, you don't have to. And I mean, the thing is that, like, it is basically, just remember that it's like a certificate, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, it means it's kind of like an ownership document to say that I own this thing. So I mean, of course, it's good that, you know, it's, let's say if it's a painting, then it's like the same, like it lives, like, you know, with the high res thing on the blockchain as well. But if it doesn't have, as in like the physical work, then it's fine as its own, you know, and you don't have to burn it.
You don't have to destroy your work. All right, let's move on to the next question. During the lockdown, I remember I loved watching videos of my favorite plays. So here's one from an actor. I'm an actor. I don't have the rights to the video taken of a play that I was in. Can I NFT my part in this play if it was videotaped?
Okay, so... So as mentioned earlier, so NFTs just treat it as ownership certification, and in general, you should not share or distribute things which you are not the copyright owner of, okay? And because a play can be very complicated, there are many parties involved.
Yep.
I mean, usually the scriptwriter or the producers will be the ones who actually own the copyright of such work, you know? And of course, being the actor and all that, you have your own interpretation, which has its own rights, but usually you cannot monetize just that part, and it's best that you don't NFT it without seeking permission from everybody else, because otherwise you may get into trouble, right? So my suggestion is to just only create NFTs that you are 100% copyright owner of. But what you can do as an actor is you can create your own original monologue and turn it into an NFT, and then you'll be very safe.
Shoot it yourself, use words that you've written yourself, and then NFT that. So try to NFT your original piece.
Or something, you know, like with improv or whatever. Or you can use things which are in the public domain already.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Oh, wait a minute. You mean if it's in the public domain, then it doesn't belong to anybody?
So it's like, for example, if you do a monologue of Shakespeare or Hamlet, to be or not to be, for example.
Oh, okay.
That one has got no more rights because it's in the public domain. So then, by all means.
We are finding out more about how you can NFT your own work with Iris Koh, Executive and Artistic Director from Chorus Art, and she's founder of Ikibook. She spent 20 years as a music director, but has moved in a big way to tech and innovation, and has just spoken at the Baltics on how she managed to NFT her art. So what kind of art were you NFTing yourself for yourself?
So actually I have, I'm managing a few artists. So the first NFT that I created was from this Russian artist, and who is also an architect. So talking about public domain just now, right? So mm-hmm. we took the Michelangelo's David, okay, because that's in the public domain, and mm-hmm. she made a modern version of it. Yeah, so that was one of the works that.
So you helped a Russian artist NFT his work?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Interesting.
And of course, I also work with some Singaporean artists as well.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're sort of helping artists convert their work in with this NFT space, because things are evolving all the time in this space, right?
Yes. I mean, I think it's not just the technology, but basically, I think there's still a place for representation and for people to promote your work, because, I mean, yeah, you know, I think...
Yeah. Getting an NFT is just the first part of it. And then how do you sell it? Oh, my goodness, we've got a lot to get through. Okay, let's take a step back. What can NFT, can be NFT'd, and what cannot? We talked a little about physical art. Do you have any more to add? What can you NFT, what can't you?
Okay, recently I heard that there's a university that is NFTing the graduation certificates on the blockchain. And I thought that is a really good idea, because sometimes people do all kinds of things when they're desperate, right? When they go for job interviews and they doctor their certificates and all that. So, mm-hmm. but if it's on the blockchain and it's an NFT, then basically it can't be faked, you know? So these kinds of things are very good to be NFT, like especially if you want like an authentic piece of document.
That is a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like going beyond artwork, you know, but you can also NFT even real estate, okay? Passports and other unique items.
Okay, people always get confused when we talk about NFTing real estate. So are you talking about NFTing physical real estate or land in the virtual world, like upland or decentralized?
No, like the deed. Like real estate as in like the title deed of your real estate.
So what value would that add to the whole chain of things?
Okay, for example, like I know someone who is Filipino, mm-hmm. and in Singapore, like, our laws are very clear, but in her country, even to earn a piece of land, right, it's not very clear who actually owns it. Okay. So in those circumstances, then that NFT document is very important to have, because, you know, like, some of these places you can take years before you even finalize a piece of document. And in Singapore, we really take it for granted because our government is very efficient and good, so we don't see the need for that. But in a lot of countries, that is actually a huge need.
Yeah, okay, so to establish rights. Okay, let's come back to the broader topic. We are talking about what you need to understand about NFTing your work. Could be any kind of artwork. You know, these days, creators on TikTok are NFTing their work. Today, the video that's been seen by 54 million people will go on sale, the NFT for it, via auction through a partnership with a digital working agency. And it's a viral hit called I Ain't Ever Seen Two Pretty Best Friends. 54 million views. I have no idea what it's going to go for. But I think the broader question from that is, how do people know how to price their NFTs?
Yes. Okay. So I think there is no right or wrong price. The right price is basically the price that someone wants to pay, you know, is willing to pay. And the good thing about NFTs is that you can set recurring royalties on the subsequent sale of the NFT. So I've seen instances where some of the artists, famous ones, they actually price their initial, they call it drops, say, for $1 or $10. And so what that does is that the work is sold immediately, multiple times, by different people. And the people who buy that benefit, of course, monetarily a lot from it, but the artists also benefited because there's recurring royalties, and plus they create this huge demand and free marketing and publicity, right? And then everybody's talking about it. It's like, wow, can you imagine this is like $1 or $10, and then it gets resold like many times and things like that. So I think it really depends on your overall strategy and intention. And of course, there's the old-fashioned auction method, which never goes out of fashion.
So bear in mind the recurrent royalties when you are setting the price for your drop, should we say. Yes. So the world's most expensive NFT, $69.3 million by Beeple every day as we talk to Baya Metcalfe on this very show. $10.3 million is the next highest priced NFT. So for work that you've been, you know, part of, what's the general price range that you've seen, you know, sort of other artists aim for?
I mean, nowadays, like, depending on which platforms you're in, there are, like, non-Ethereum ones where some of the works are, like, really very, I mean, and I would say even very cheap, like $10, $12 to, like, thousands of dollars. I mean, there are different kind of niches. Some of the NFT platforms are more high-end art. Like, you know, if you even get listed there, then, you know, your art will go for, like, thousands of dollars. So, yeah, there is really all kinds of, all kinds of different range, and I would say, like, find the right one for yourself, you know, like, just explore around and find the platform that you think works for you.
Okay.
And you take some experimentation, yeah.
Everybody thinks you need Ethereum to mint an NFT. Is that true?
Yeah.
Will I need to buy Ethereum to mint my NFT?
Okay, so most of the NFTs are based on the Ethereum blockchain, and if you want to mint something there, you will need Ethereum. That means when you buy the Ethereum, you must have a crypto wallet and all that. But nowadays, because of the increasingly high gas fees, many people are also migrating out the Ethereum blockchains to the Binance Smart Chain and the Tezos blockchain, which have their own NFT platforms. So recently while we were preparing our free NFT giveaways, we found a HEC at Node chain, which is based on the Tezos blockchain, and that's very cheap to transact, and they allow you to mint like a lot at one time.
So, what's that platform again? HEC?
HEC at Node, H-I-C.
H-I-C.
E-T.
E-T.
N-U-N-C.
Okay, N-U-N-T. I'm glad you spelled that for me.
Yeah. So that's like becoming increasingly more popular because that one is not based on Ethereum, so the transaction is much faster and it's cheaper as well.
Mm-hmm. And are there gas fees? Yeah. Let's get technical. So gas fees are paid in Ethereum's currency, Ether, and they're denoted as a GWEI, for example. And what are NFT gas fees?
Okay, so gas fees are, like, for example, when you want to buy, let's say, my artwork, okay, when I transfer the artwork to you, there is a transaction fee. So that's called a gas fee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then there's also minting fees, which is, in a way, gas fees. But, you know, when you mint something, you also need to incur gas. They call it gas, yeah. So you have to pay something to mint, and you have to pay something to transfer an NFT token from one wallet to another.
Would I have to pay to buy if I'm the buyer? Are there fees that I have to pay to get it transferred to me?
Yes, I think both sides have to pay, depending on the platform, but that's my experience is that, yeah, you have to pay both sides.
So what are the range of fees involved in minting an NFT? What would I be looking at? Yeah,
yeah. So when I went on the HEC at Node, that was very cheap. That was like 20 to 30 cents to mint, so that it's like very good. But when I'm on the Ethereum blockchain, like the NFT, like Rarible and all that, you can anything from $50 to $600 for like a collection of works. But the last time I paid was about $600. So of course I paid for like to mint the entire collection.
And is this a one-time fee that you pay, or are you going to have to pay for as long as it sits up there on any platform waiting to be sold?
You pay that one-time fee. Okay. So, but sometimes if you do certain things, like, for example, you want to burn your token for whatever reason, you know, you say, okay, now I don't want to have 5 pieces, I only want to have 1 piece of that, so I want to burn the other 4 pieces. So you will incur a gas fee as well.
Okay, got it. Now, here's a question. Will I absolutely need a crypto wallet if I want to create an NFT?
Yes, you absolutely need a crypto wallet.
No way getting around it.
So, but it's not really easy for beginners, especially if you're new to crypto. And usually NFT is like the next level up. So there's usually like higher resistance and more things to know and more hoops to jump. true.
And more fees to consider, actually. All right. Mm-hmm. We are speaking with Iris Koh, 20 years a music director. So what got you interested in the NFT world and when did you get in on it?
Yeah, I got in on it in around 2018 because actually my husband is the crypto expert. He wrote a book, Rise of the Small, Catalyzing the Blockchain Evolution. So so he's been like telling me about it, and basically most of my crypto knowledge, I got it from him.
Okay.
So
that helps when you have an expert at that you're married to.
Yeah. Right. So that is actually how I, and because, you know, if I were just like concentrating on my music and all that, I don't think I would be so interested to know. But because of him, I became more interested to find out and to also see how I can apply it in my own industry. I think it's very powerful, especially for musicians and all that.
Yeah, you sound like you're really excited about it. So back in 2018, was the process the same? You needed Ether, you needed, you know, you had those gas fees, or was it difficult back then? Is it a lot simpler now, the process of minting an NFT?
I would say NFT really became big this year. Okay, people like only started talking about it in January 2021. Mm-hmm. Back in 2018, the NFT I know was called CryptoKitty. There's this AI kitten that you can make, that you can create. Okay, of course, before that you have the CryptoPunks, but that was the crypto. Then you have the crypto cats, right?
And Nyan Cat, the dog, the cat with the body of a Pop Tart. That was later, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, back in those days, I mean, things were, the ecosystem was building up, but it wasn't. It wasn't so mature as now.
Right.
So what I did back in 2018 is I did a Creative Commons musical. Mm. So I used the concept of blockchain, which is, I mean, basically they collaborate and the source is like the open source.
Okay, got it. We've got a couple of minutes left on the clock. Are there services or some freelancers that can walk an artist through this whole process of minting an NFT?
Yeah, so there are a lot. I mean, there are several YouTube videos that you can just follow and mint your NFTs. Okay, and but if you need like hand holding, we also are going to be launching our workshop so that people can, you know, sometimes it's really terrifying, the like technology and as well as like not knowing where to go, and especially when the crypto world sometimes, like, you know, there's scams and you're not sure which one is the safe platform to go. So,
all right. We'll share your website very soon. Iris, thank you for being with us today on Money and Me, and all the best in your crypto work.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you.
And that was Iris Koh, executive and artistic director at Chorus Art and founder of Icky Book Limited. You can find out more about her and her workshops at www.cryptoicky.com. That's cryptoicky.com. This is Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin. Thanks for listening.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.